sex and happiness.
Both enrich our lives, change our lives in ways that make life worth living. Yet it's surprising how few people can honestly say that they enjoy regular and fulfilling sex or describe themselves and their lives as happy. Want you to make me feel like I'm the only girl in the world. Like I'm the only one that you'll ever love. Host Lori Handlers helps you to explore, learn about, and most importantly, have great sex. And in the process, she helps you to experience real intimacy and happiness.
Sex and happiness.
You'll laugh a little, learn a little, and we hope put a smile on your face and a smile in your life. Now here's Lori.
Hi, everyone. This is Lori Handlers, and you're listening to Sex and Happiness, a show about sex and happiness. And hopefully you keep getting sexier and happier each time you hear this show. And this portion of the show is brought to you by Zestra, which you'll hear about a little bit later. It's a wonderful female enhancement product. And today I want to talk about confidence. You might be the most confident person in the world in terms of your life, your career, and everyone thinks you are somebody. But sexual confidence, I don't know. I don't know if you're confident sexually or not. And some people who outwardly are the most amazing, powerful human beings, when they get into the bedroom and they're behind closed doors, they need to turn the lights off or get under the covers, like they have no confidence about themselves once they're down to their birthday suit. So my guests today know something about sexual confidence. They might even know how to measure sexual confidence, and they can tell us some things to make us more confident in that way. They are Sue Newsom, who is a tantra teacher, a sex educator, and a psychosexual therapist in training. Her approach supports individuals and couples to quickly discover their blocks to sexual pleasure, and she gives people the tools and knowledge to enjoy their sexuality. Sue has used her knowledge and experience to work with people with physical disabilities as well. So welcome to the show, Sue.
Thanks, Lori. I'm very pleased to be here.
I'm glad you're here, too. And I want to also introduce Sarah Robinson. Sarah is a transformational sex coach and educator. She's trained with many of the world's sexual pioneers, and her practice blends skills in coaching, bodywork, and tantra. She passionately believes that everyone has the potential and the right to a vibrant and pleasure-filled sex life, and that it's a vital part of our overall health and well-being. Sarah supports her clients to clear their concerns, to step into the life they desire and they also deserve. So, Sarah, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Delighted to be here, too.
A lot of people, as it turns out, might be very confident in their job and their career and maybe confident with their partners and their families and what have you. But when it comes to sexuality, their confidence fades. Have you found this to be a widespread phenomenon?
Absolutely. Most definitely. And I think you've also sort of hit the nail on the head when you talk about those who are outwardly confident in their lives. I mean, at the extreme, I've had clients, for example, a young war veteran who said the bedroom is more terrifying than the battlefield for him. A businesswoman, beautiful, successful businesswoman who did not know where her own clitoris is. Therefore, she wanted the lights out, didn't want to show her body or anything. But it's right across from those more extreme examples to people who are not confident in their lives in general. And sexual confidence is something that they're really seeking, but just don't know how to find. And often what I find is when I say to clients, do you feel sexy? Many of them, and surprisingly many of them, reply they've never felt that. They don't know what that means. Astonishing, really.
Yes, it is astonishing. I'm just like, really? You know, like there's a part of me that's astonished and there's another part of me that's not surprised because of the so little education that people get about their bodies and about their sexuality and being healthy in sexuality. I mean, people, we make it up as we go along, and most of us are in the dark.
So yeah. This sexual confidence thing is that people, they see a lot of images in the media, and they compare themselves to what they see portrayed. about, you know, the messages they get in the media about how they should look, how they should behave, how they to be really great sexually. And when they compare themselves to that, it leaves them feeling less than or lacking. And that's often sits at the core of people's lack of sexual confidence, that they're comparing themselves with others. And without the sexual education, without the realistic information about human sexuality, they carry fantasies and myths in their mind, you know, that everyone else is better at sex than they are, and that everyone else is having more sex than they are.
That's a really good point, Sue. You know, I mean, we can always say things about the media, because the media just spreads images that are so unreal. But also with MTV and the latest and greatest in the music machines, people get to see these videos where people are almost literally having sex, sometimes in gangs of dancers or what have you. Everybody's undulating. Yeah. And I think people compare themselves to those images as well. Those are quite disturbing to me. And I'm not a sexual prude at all, but I do worry about young people learning how to have sex from watching people undulate on music videos. So how did the both of you get interested in this? Because this is kind of a specialty, this sexual confidence thing. I mean, there are people who specialize in couples counseling or coaching, couples therapy. There's people who obviously specialize in tantra. There are people who specialize in people who want to make love but who have disabilities, which do you work with people with physical disabilities? But how did you get particularly interested in this area of sexual confidence, just like as a title?
Certainly from my point of view, I've worked in this field for over 12 years. And increasingly what I've found is that people who are seeking support, that at the core of that, they're really struggling to just enjoy and feel self-assured around their sexuality. So it's almost come out as a theme in my work, working with both able-bodied and disabled people. And I then embarked on some research to find out just, you know, what's out there in the sort of the academic, the research world in terms of using sexual confidence as a measure for people. And there isn't very much. And there are a huge number of questionnaires, of scales, of different measures around human sexuality, human sexual function. But there are hardly any where the concept of sexual confidence is mentioned. So everyone is very focused on sexual function and sexual dysfunction. But there are a lot of people who haven't got a sexual dysfunction. You know, they haven't got a problem with their sexual function, but they're very alone and isolated with not feeling confident around their sexuality.
I see what you're saying. So it's more hidden. Like it's not a problem per se. It's just a thing. I mean, I don't even know how to distinguish it, but I hear what you're saying. Like there's a lot of research done on all kinds of other things, but this is just right there, right in front of our face.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything you want to add to that, Sarah?
Yeah, low sexual confidence can lead to more sexual issues. So, for example, if people have low sexual confidence, often they do feel alone and isolated and don't know where to go for help or support with it. And that can then spiral into erection issues and different things. But on the other hand, erection issues or orgasm issues can also lead to low sexual confidence. And when people go to, for example, deal with the medical profession, it's very much as the focus is on the dysfunction, when often helping people with their sexual confidence can help to alleviate their concerns, move them forward.
It's just interesting, especially in the medical profession. Like, I don't know if they could help anybody with that. They can prescribe drugs and they can cut things, but I don't know if they could help somebody with sexual confidence. I mean, I guess I don't have a lot of faith in medicine as an institution for really coping with or healing anything like that. So that's why there's you.
Absolutely.
I met you through some things you were posting on Facebook, and you were talking about some kind of a conference. And I'd like to know a little bit about that conference and what your presentation was, what you actually presented, and was it like a scientific presentation or studies or based on the studies of your own work? What can you tell us about that that could shed light for people on their own sexual confidence?
Okay, so the conference, Laurie, it was in the UK, and it was a conference run by the British Association of Sexual Educators. And the audience was a very mixed audience. So there were all sorts of different professionals in the audience who work in the field of sexual education or sexual health. And the presentation that Sarah and I were involved in was really to really put sexual confidence on the agenda, because we were kind of saying that, you know, let's not fixate around sexual dysfunction, but let's help all the people out there who just need some support, they need some permission to actually help them feel more assured around their sexuality. So we were giving the professionals a whole set of ideas that they could add to their professional toolkit to actually just to even bring sex into the conversation with people, just to actually ask people about, as Sarah said, do you feel sexy? What does it mean to you to feel sexy? What would help you feel more sexy? And what would help you enjoy your sex life more? So that's what we were doing. We were trying to encourage this group of professionals to actually start to think around about how they could use the concept of sexual confidence in the work they do with people. We also added to that that as professionals working in the field of sexual health, that their own sexual confidence is an important component of their professional capacity. So that if we are working with people around sexuality, we have to do our very best as professionals to, you know, make sure that we are sexually confident that we can deliver the best service possible.
I see what you're saying. So it'd be like, instead of the blind leading the blind, it would be some people who know something about their own sexual confidence. They've experienced their own blockages, or they've shot past them. They know what their boundaries are and so on, and then they can start to help people through being that way.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And I mean, both Sue and I have had many clients who have come to us after visiting sex therapists, where when they've started to disclose their personal history, they've felt judged by the therapist or discomfort in being able to talk. And so it's really important as professionals to look at where our values are, our judgments are, so that we can be the most open and best container for the client that we're working with.
Sure, I couldn't agree with you more. Well, you know, that's what I was saying about the medical profession, but it may be true throughout. I always felt that I had issues in my life with anger, and whenever I went to therapy about them, I always felt judged by their therapist. I felt like their anger was so suppressed. How are they going to deal with mine?
Mm-hmm.
So I could understand that from a tangential issue. So was your presentation well received?
It was, Laurie, thank you. Yeah, it was very well received, because what the feedback we got from people was that it was a real wake-up call for them. Certainly in the UK, and I'm sure it's the same in the US, where there's been this real shift towards, you know, looking at where sort of sexual medicine is going, where the latest scientific research is going. That's all at one edge of the scale, but it's leaving behind these huge groups of people who are just not happy around their sexuality, and it's what we can do to really empower and help these people.
Yeah, well, thousands of years of suppression. That's what we're fighting against here. Sexual suppression on the part of church and state and everything else, you know, patriarchy. Well, thanks for the work that you're doing. I mean, it's important. We're going to take a short break here, but when we come back, I want to know, what are some things that people could take away? What are some measures of well-being that they can check in for themselves? Like, I mean, maybe people know generally that they're not sexually comfortable, but there might be some things, very specific things that you could help them on this show. I have a big listenership, and there may be a lot of people who just were listening to hear you. So when we come back, I'd like to ask you some questions about that. If you just tuned in, you're listening to Sex and Happiness, and my guests today are Sue Newsom and Sarah Robinson, and they are people who are very interested in your sexual confidence. Maybe more interested in it than you are, but at this point you're listening and you're going to get real interested in your sexual confidence, because there's certainly plenty of things you can do about it. You don't have to be stuck in any one place. So this is Laurie Handlers, and we're going to take a short break, but when we come back, we'll hear more.
My question for people right now is, if you're a woman who could use a little zest and zing in your arousal response, or maybe you know women or a woman who could use this, because many women say that their feelings of desire, arousal, and sexual satisfaction don't happen as naturally or as often as they'd like. So I want to tell you about Zestra, because Zestra was developed to meet this much-needed option for women. Zestra is safe and a patented blend of botanical oils and extracts, and it's created to help women have increased sexual sensations. Zestra comes in convenient single-dose personal packets. Each packet keeps the essential arousal oils and extracts free, fresh, and safe from light. And with application of Zestra, it starts to work within 3 to 5 minutes. And at about 10 minutes, there's something called the Zestra Rush. And that can last up to about 45 minutes. The great news is that Zestra can be used as frequently as you like during each sexual experience. Now, I'm somebody who believes that all women deserve sexual satisfaction. That's why I do this show, in case you hadn't noticed. So I believe that men and women deserve sexual satisfaction. So if you're a woman who isn't getting that kind of arousal response that you want, please call 877-426-8047. That's 877-426-8047. And please remember to say you heard about Zestra from Laurie Handlers on the Sex and Happiness Show. We'll be right back.
Are you wondering what book to read to jumpstart your life, get the best from relationships, attain the deepest feelings of intimacy? Do you want the best sex along with great happiness? Get your copy of Sex and Happiness, The Tantric Laws of Intimacy by Laurie Handlers right now. You'll learn how to make love in the unknown, take the performance anxiety and reaching a goal out of sex. You'll learn subtle ways of communication and really important practices to empower you when dealing with an intimate partner. You'll let go of blame and struggle. Doesn't this sound great? Sex and Happiness puts the innocence back into sex and gives Tantra the respect it deserves. Take charge of your life, physically, emotionally, and spiritually with Sex and Happiness by Laurie Handlers, only $19.99 paperback and $14.99 ebook. Order your copy today by going to butterflyworkshops.com. That's butterflyworkshops.com for your copy of Sex and Happiness.
Well, we're back with Sex and Happiness, and I'm Laurie Handlers, your host, and today I'm interviewing two women from the UK who presented recently at a conference about sexual confidence. They talked about ways that people in general could be more confident sexually, people who, for one reason or another, don't feel very confident in that aspect of their life, but do in other aspects. And they also talk to sex educators and people who work with people who have sexual dysfunction and talk to them about how they need to have sexual confidence as well when they're counseling people. Yeah, I want to, both of your experience as a Tantra teacher, sex educators, coaches, I mean, you have a lot to say about this subject to people. And I'm wondering, first of all, how would people have some clues about what they need to go to work on, like in terms of things that you measure? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Absolutely. I think one of the number one things for people is to notice what you're saying to yourself. Our internal dialogue is absolutely fundamental to this, because often we're playing continual loops of tapes where we criticize ourselves, where we put ourselves down, you know, and we wouldn't put up with this talk from our friends. So let's stop doing it ourselves. And if we can just notice the stories we're telling ourselves, which may be, I don't look good. It could be a number of different things. It might be just saying, I don't feel confident. I feel nervous. I feel scared even. And if we can start to notice the things we are telling ourselves, then we can start to unpick them and make changes to that. So if we say, for example, if we're saying to ourselves, I don't know what I'm doing, I'm scared, we could turn it into, I'm learning to be a great lover. And just shifting what we're thinking and being aware of what we're thinking can really start to make a difference.
Okay, good. So that's kind of like the inner dialogue. And actually, I think you're right. I mean, if people put that a little bit on loudspeaker, even if they change what they're saying, like what you're saying, or even if they could admit to someone,
absolutely,
you know, like, I'm a little nervous here, you know. Even us, I imagine you And myself, there are times when I'm a little nervous, I have to say, to somebody. You know, just because I'm a big talented teacher doesn't mean a thing. Like, I'm a regular person.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's great. So self-talk, countering the negative self-talk with, like, or reframing it into learning.
Yeah.
Good. Anything else? What else might you recommend?
I think another one, Laurie, is where, particularly around our sexuality, where we're often comparing ourselves to either an ideal or to someone else or to this idea of how we should look sexually or how we should behave sexually. And it's kind of like, so we're carrying this idea of we've got to have perfect sex. And, you know, and that's rubbish, because the reality is that sex between two human beings or three human beings or however many are in the act, it's a kind of it's an organic process, and there are lumps and bumps and there are hiccups and there are body behaviors and stuff, and it doesn't all happen like we see it in the movies. And I think, you know, the sooner we can let go of this perfectionist, this ideal that we're striving to meet, then the more we can relax and start to really enjoy and be creative in our sexual pleasure.
Yes, I think you're so right. So again, we're looking at the media and trying to discount or stop comparing ourselves to what we see in the media. You know, there's so many things that have come out. There's two people from Australia who did a book called Heart of the Flower, where they took photographs of women's genitals, especially the vagina, the lips and everything, because they said that women were having these bizarre operations trying to make their vaginas perfect.
Absolutely. And I think it's a key thing is getting to know and love your own body. And many clients, both men and female, come with questions around how their genitals look and feel that they're deformed or out of shape. And, you know, there's a huge rise in labiaplasties where people are having their genitals reconstructed because of this. And often with a client, it's as simple as showing a picture book. I've got some books like Heart of the Flower, and just showing them how other people look. And they literally walk out the door 5 minutes later just with relief. so just finding, because often on porn movies, we see a very certain type of female and male genitals. They choose bigger penises. They choose very neat, symmetrical vaginas. And that's just one type of genitals that's out there. There's many other types. So just by showing those pictures or looking at your own through new eyes, just looking at them in the mirror, because often with our genitals, we only ever touch them when it's medical reasons or through birth. Many women never ever look at their genitals through any other time. So just getting to know them and love them is really fundamental.
As long as they work and they feel okay, they're okay. I'm so glad you said that. It's interesting that you say that, because I'm part of a project called Body Liberator right now, where a bunch of different women have volunteered to talk from their bathtub, like to get in the bathtub and to run water in the bathtub with bubbles and then get in the bathtub and talk about how we feel about our bodies. I just happened to be featured in this particular project as we speak. I'm talking about how I feel about my body, how I felt in the past about my body, what are some concerns or stories that I had from the past about it, what really freaked me out. And I had some incidents that felt kind of confident myself about my body. But when I was younger, there were some incidents or things or comments that were made to me that set me back for a few years, you know, that just scared me, like, oh, this person could think that of me. And then...
Yeah.
So it could even happen from just somebody saying something that they were joking.
Absolutely, because I think those messages, they can often leave an imprint that we do carry, and that in itself can really get in the way of our confidence about ourselves.
Yes, I mean, well, for me, that's what happened. I got blood on somebody once, and he made a big deal out of it, and I was just mortified after that for quite some time. I mean, so what? When I got into Tantra, I found out that, you know, that was sacred.
Yeah.
Somebody might want to paint themselves in war paint with my blood. But in the, you know, the early days for me of my own budding sexuality, somebody making a crack just didn't help my confidence at all.
Yeah.
I'm really glad you're doing what you're doing. So you see women and men. Your practices are made up of women and men. And do you do practice together, or you just happen to team up for this conference?
We are colleagues, Laurie, so we do work together, the university women and men, yeah.
Yeah, that's great. What a blessing it must be when people come to and find you.
Oh, absolutely. And just so such deep, rewarding work to be able to share and help people transform on their journeys with this, because it just makes such a huge difference in people's lives. And it can take a lot of courage to come and see people like us. So it's just fabulous.
So can you give me the top story? A person came in like this, and they left like this. And after how many sessions, would you have one really amazing success story?
I could share with you a recent client situation. It was a couple who they'd had two children in quite quick succession, and the delivery had been a little bit traumatic. So the female had tears after her delivery. And that had caused problems in terms of their relationship, in terms of their sex life after having had children. I did work with them, and the work was, and it was with both of them, it was around actually coming to terms with the fact that they were now parents, so that had an effect on both of them, you know, that they had responsibility to their children and what that meant to them in terms of their sex life. And then really giving them exercises they could do together to really move to a place of celebration and acceptance of the changes that had happened in the female's body, you know, particularly around her genitals, and actually so that they could, and giving them ideas of how they were going to use different techniques, different sexual positions, so that, you know, they could find a new way of being sexual. And that was, they came in quite a distressed space, thinking that their sex life was over, basically.
Yes.
And left feeling incredibly excited, and both of them looking incredibly sexy and really mischievous about the new sex life that they discovered.
I know you have this expression in the UK as well as we have it. You turned lemons into lemonade. But it's great. You totally reframed it into exploration and adventure for them instead of into hardship and failure.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think both Sue and I would, you know, with many stories to share. And I think that something is, it can just be as simple as showing someone a picture of the reality of how women are and how women's genitals are. Can just something like that can transform a person. And, you know, for me, I'm really, and I share this passion, is taking some of the principles of things like Tantra to a more mainstream audience. Because often with clients, it's reframing and redefining pleasure for them that can change and make such a difference. So rather than focusing on the goals of orgasm and ejaculation and erections, just by helping people to relax into their pleasure and get out of performance and to hang out in pleasure and all of those things, and just getting to know their bodies, having clear boundaries, being able to communicate their sexual needs, all of those things can transform lots of different queries and issues that people have. So there's just so many different stories of how just even those principles can make such a difference to people.
That's so great, Sarah. Thanks for saying that. I mean, that's really key. And it's very, it's not rocket science what you're talking about. It's just actually opening up. Yeah. Well, I want to thank you both so much. And
I just want to let you know how you can get in touch with these two amazing women. So you can reach Sarah. This is Sarah Robinson. You can reach her at Sarah, S-A-R-A-H, at un-limited.org. So it's un with a hyphen, limited, limited.org. And for Sue Newsom, you can contact her via shaktitantra.co.uk. So that's S-H-A-K-T-I, Tantra, T-A-N-T-R-A, .co.uk.
Well, I want to thank you both for the work you're doing and for coming to the show today to let us know how people can really become more sexually confident and how that spills over into the rest of their life, their sex and happiness. It's completely appropriate.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you so much, Laurie.
You're welcome. And please, everybody, stay tuned, because the next part of the show, I'll have Barbara Corrales, who is the person who's responsible and famous for urban tantra. And she's written a new book, and so I'm having Barbara back on the show. So we'll be right back with Sex and Happiness.
Hey, all, want to have a real adventure this year? I, Laurie Handlers, personally invite you to come with me on a tantric tour of the heart of India from November 19th to December 1st, 2012. You'll see the Taj Mahal and visit the fabulous Fatehpur Sikri, home of the great Mughal king Akbar. You'll experience the sacred lake of Pushkar and visit the pink city of Jaipur. Then at dawn, from a boat on the Ganges in Varanasi, you'll see exquisite Hindu prayer rituals. Then you'll see Sarnath, where the Buddha gave his first speech after attaining enlightenment as well. And then you'll explore the exotic Kama Sutra temples in Khajuraho. You'll have ample opportunity to see these world-renowned temples up close, and you'll even get to meditate inside. Finally, you'll shop till you drop in the Paragonj Bazaar in New Delhi. Throughout the tour, I'll be teaching tantric techniques and principles, and I promise that you will shift your consciousness and come closer to attaining your spiritual goals. For more information about the tantric tour to the heart of India, call me at 202-686-7440. That's 202-686-7440. Or write to me, Laurie, at butterflyworkshops.com. You can find out everything you want to know at butterflyworkshops.com, Tantric Tours. Please note that no previous experience of Tantra or yoga is necessary. I invite you to join me in this unique experience touring the incredible country of India, and I must warn you, this is not your typical tour, and you are not a typical tourist.
Are you in pain or unable to sleep? Ever hear about how the body needs glutathione for natural cleansing? Could you use a boost of energy? Try Life Wave Patches. There are a variety of patches to choose from. Each one of them is designed like a small band-aid to help your body with the challenges of life when you're simply not getting what the body needs for support. And you can use these amazing patches on your pets. Go to Life Wave Patches for Pets and People on Facebook and see Suzanne Summers' interview with Dr. David Schmidt about patches that reduce stress and inflammation while increasing energy. You can also find out more at ValerieHandlers.com. That's ValerieHandlers.com. Or call Valerie at 714-928-6399 to order your patches, or consider becoming an independent Life Wave distributor. That's 714-928-6399.
Well, we're back, and this is Laurie Handlers with Sex and Happiness, and I have my second guest, and her name is Barbara Corrales. Barbara is celebrating the publication of her new book, Ecstasy is Necessary, and she's the author of the best-selling Urban Tantra and of another called Luxurious Loving. And Barbara was named the best tantric sex seminar leader in New York City by Time Out New York Magazine for her urban tantra workshops, in which she adapts and blends conscious sexuality practices from tantra to BDSM. I just want to ask everyone out there, because this is exactly what I'm going to lead in with her. Are you somebody who allows pleasure into your life just a little bit, like maybe it's what you think you can have? Or what's okay to have, like you give yourself some permission to have some pleasure. But really, what would your life be like if you let full-on ecstasy in your life? Obviously, Barbara Corrales believes that ecstasy is necessary, or she wouldn't have written the book with that title. So, Barbara, welcome to my show today.
Hi, Laurie. Thanks so much for having me.
You've been on my other show, Tantra Cafe, a couple of times.
Yes, but I love your shows.
Thank you. I think this is the first time that you're on Sex and Happiness, and I saw you wrote a new book, so I wanted to get you on as soon as I could. What's this difference? Because I can't guarantee that my listeners actually even know the difference between pleasure and ecstasy. So maybe you could start there, because I know you know.
Well, you know, it's something that I had to stop and think about. What's beyond pleasure? And for me, ecstasy is not, well, it's more than pleasure. Ecstasy is an experience that sort of picks you up by the feet, turns you upside down, shakes you about, mixes all your atoms and cells, and then eventually puts you right side up and says, there, now how do you feel? And how you feel is profoundly altered.
Yeah.
You see things differently. There are more possibilities. Things are just different. You are different. You have been rearranged. Pleasure is maybe part of it, the ecstatic experience, but very few people describe the ecstatic experience as pleasant, pleasurable, happy, or nice. They're more likely to think of it as transformational or profound.
Mm, yeah, like kind of like a volcano erupting.
Yeah.
Or a tsunami rolling through your senses.
Or sometimes it can be really, really, really quiet. There can be profound blissgasms. Maybe you're sitting on the edge of a beach on the perfect night with the light hitting the waves just perfectly, and you're just breathing and meditating on the wave, and suddenly you're overcome either with laughter or with tears or with this sense of complete inner peace. That would also be an ecstatic moment.
Yes. Okay. So I get that. It's very different. I guess profound would be one of the easiest ways to distinguish it, because pleasure could be anything. It could be just eating a good meal. It could be eating a great slice of pizza. I mean, who knows? But ecstasy feels like it's like over the edge of something.
You know what I think it is? And this is why it was, I consider this the companion book to Urban Tantra. I think ecstasy has the perfect combination, whatever that is for you, the perfect combination of eroticism and spirituality. I think an ecstatic experience has an erotic quality, whether or not it's explicitly sexual. It does have an erotic quality, and it also has a spiritual quality. I think if I had to put it just in a brief phrase, that's what qualifies to me as an ecstatic experience. Therefore, some orgasms are ecstatic, but others aren't.
Right.
Some people can have an ecstatic experience playing sports or dancing or drumming or, in some cases, eating food, according to what my friends have told me and contributed for this book. Lots of things can be taken to an ecstatic experience if you know how to do it. One of the reasons I wanted to write about ecstasy was that I think, as a culture, we think of sex as a very small event. We think of it as a very limited event. We deny the spiritual possibilities of it as a culture, not individually, perhaps. And I wanted to broaden the conversation about what sex and spirituality could be and could mean and could do. And I didn't want to use the word tantra again. And also, in Urban Tantra, I felt like I focused a lot on the physical and the spiritual. I wanted a book that talked about how to, that was very practical, but talked about how to apply that same tantric mindfulness to the way we think and feel and behave. In other words, cover the other part of the human experience. So I think of it as a companion book to Urban Tantra. At first I thought, God, maybe this is a sequel. No, that's not quite right. Well, maybe it's a prequel. No, that's not quite right. So now I'm thinking of it as a fundamental practical guide that accompanies Urban Tantra. How to
Sure.
make everything that happens in the world and in your life a possible ecstatic experience if you want to. And also, I was really, really, really upset at how people were being who were not prioritizing sex or had different desires than the quote norm, how those people were being pathologized. You don't have enough desire. You're broken. You should be more interested in sex. You should care. You should do this. You should do that. And these poor people were perfectly happy until somebody told them they were broken.
Right.
I want people to also acknowledge that different people reach their ecstasy in different ways. Sex is certainly the easiest and most available for most people, but it's not the only way.
All right, I like that. I mean, it's good. It's great that you gave this attention also to people who aren't that sexual, and they could find ecstasy in other ways. That does beg the question, and it's just sort of a side for me, like something I say, that moving sexual energy is necessary.
Yes. Yes.
So in my world, when I meet people who are really stuck, and oftentimes they're older people, and they feel like they're getting gnarly, and they're getting bent, and they're getting whatever, and they may be having some ecstatic experiences. I don't know, but I feel like if they don't move their sexual energy, things go rapidly downhill. That's a personal thing for me. And what I hear you're saying is, you know, maybe I could relook at that.
Well, I kind of agree with you, though. Sexual energy isn't the same thing as how much sex are you having.
Right.
You know, if we're both tantricas. So
right.
If we are dancing around ecstatically to wild, passionate drums, and we're breathing, and we're doing some PC squeezes, we're having sex. We are moving right. A great deal of sexual energy. So I suppose what I really mean is, yes, give people permission not to be sexual if they don't want to be, but to understand that it's all one energy, creative
right.
energy, sexual energy, and it doesn't
right.
have to be expressed in penis-vagina intercourse in order to be successful and passionate and wonderful and ecstatic.
Okay, I love that. That's so great, and it really clarifies a lot. And, you know, and kind of helps me clarify for myself. I say to people, I do not have any prejudice with people who do or don't have sex. Like, to me, that's like whatever. It's just, I know they need to move their energy because I'm really concerned with their sex and happiness.
Yes. Yes.
So now tell me why ecstasy is necessary. Like, obviously you've taken a stand. It's a very powerful title. So these transformative or almost non-speakable experiences, why is it necessary?
A couple of reasons. I think orgasm and ecstasy, I think, are the human reset button. In this way, in this sense, I agree with Wilhelm Reich, the sex researcher and psychiatrist, mm-hmm. that that full expression of all that we are, that orgasmic expression, is necessary on a physical, emotional, and spiritual level. Physically, it releases ecstatic experiences. Orgasm releases huge amounts of physical tension.
Right.
It also, on an emotional level, releases stuck, pent-up emotion. And on a spiritual level, an ecstatic experience will smash the ceiling of your limited set of possibilities and open you to a sky of unlimited possibilities. And that can happen over and over and over again, that you crash through that ceiling of limitations into a whole new set of possibilities. So it works on all three levels. That's why I think it's necessary, because human beings, as you just said, Lori, they don't do well when they stop moving, when they stop striving, when they start settling for, oh, it's just the way it is and it's never going to change, it's never going to be any better. We start drying up and dying.
Exactly. Yes, yes. So, and that's, to me, that's like, really, all you got to do is what you talked about before a little bit. You breathe, you squeeze your PC muscles a little bit, and you know, and you have like two different breaths, and we might be having sex. Somebody else is just moving the sexual energy, or for some people, having the best sex they ever had in their life. And it's so necessary to do that. It's so simple. And we don't want to dry up. We want to stick around. So thank you. So great. I have an old friend from high school who, when she found out what I do, she said, so really tell me what you do. And I said, well, I teach people how to breathe and squeeze. I teach people how to use their body the way it was designed to be used, how to move the energy, how to get into ecstatic states, you know, exactly what you do. And we both do it differently, but we do it. And some of the stuff we do is not different. Anyway, she said to me, why would anyone want to do that?
Yeah.
And I said, really? To get to know yourself better, to get to know yourself inside the way you know yourself outside, looking in the mirror. And she went, Oh, I would never want to do that. I'd never want to find out that stuff. It would be scary. So I figured not everybody wants to have an ecstatic experience because they're a little bit afraid about what they would uncover.
Oh, yes, that's so true. And I write about that. You're so right. This book is especially geared to just that issue. Because I realized the same thing, that one of the reasons people do not adventure and explore ecstatic states more, or even just a better orgasm in some cases, is because they're afraid if they really went into a concentrated erotic exploration, they would run into hundreds of things they would hate. So I start out the book with a chapter, In Search of Your Authentic Sexual Self, where I give you exercises so that you can really get a good, cold, hard, clear look at what your values are, your needs are, and your desires are. When you know that, values are more kind of permanent, needs change, desires change even more frequently. But when you know, when you get that snapshot of who you are, it makes it so much easier to go, gee, I don't really need that, or gosh, that's just not within my value system, or I don't have any desire for that. You just don't even attract the erotic experiences that you really don't want. And if they happen to kind of brush past you, you find it very easy to recognize them and say, no, thank you, and head in the direction where you find your bliss.
That's beautiful. This is exactly where we're going to take a short break, because there might be something. I just have this feeling about you. There might be something that you want to say about this saying no to the things that aren't for you, like something about around boundaries. And I think that's a really good place for us to pick up. We will be right back. You are listening to Sex and Happiness, a program about sex and happiness. My guest today on this half is Barbara Karelis, and we are celebrating the publication of her new book, Ecstasy is Necessary, which is a companion book to her best-selling Urban Tantra. And so when we come back, we're going to be talking a little bit about how you can pick and choose what's for you and how to feel really good about that. And that's called boundaries. So we'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
Many times on Sex and Happiness, you've heard Lori talk about emotional release and how important it is. Well, now you can do emotional release in the privacy of your own home. In Lori's CD, Shamanic Release and Lottie Hahn, she creates a safe and sacred space in which you can do the powerful work Lori is known for in her sacred sexuality courses. Lori sets you up with the proper positioning and breathing. Then she guides you through each emotional state to the beat of tribal African rhythms. This CD provides an easy way to do emotional clearing work on a regular basis. Order your copy of Shamanic Release and Lottie Hahn today and watch your relationships walk free of emotional baggage. To order the Shamanic Release and Lottie Hahn CD by Lori Handlers, go to www.butterflyworkshops.com right now.
Well, we're back, and I'm here today with Barbara Karelis. We are always having an ecstatic time whenever we're together.
It's true.
So we left off, Barbara. You have a nice balance in your book, something about boundaries, like good boundaries making good lovers, and you also have something about erotic risk taking. So could you, those two things are kind of juxtaposed. How can a person know and say no to the things that don't work for them within their boundaries and also be a risk taker in the sensual realm?
Well, it is a dance between boundaries and risk taking.
Mm-hmm.
My rule of thumb around boundaries is to have more ecstatic experiences or just better sex, we need to pay more attention. We need to let in more experiences where we feel an energy gain. You know, when you're around a bunch of people and maybe you got there and you were tired, but when you're in the room with these people, you suddenly have all the energy in the world. You just, you know, you could fly without wings, because that's just the way you feel when you're around these people. and other situations that you walk into, perhaps an obligatory cocktail party associated with work, where you walk in the room feeling great, and within 10 minutes, you can't keep your eyes open. You are so drained. So
right.
That's a very obvious example. But many of us habituate ourselves to accept, because for whatever reason, we need the job or whatever, we settle for a lot of energy draining situations and just say, oh, well, that's part of life. So we become almost a little numb to them. We have to turn our sensor back on, especially around eroticism. Am I feeling an energy gain or an energy drain in this situation?
Mm.
Another way of looking at it or feeling it is, am I feeling pulled toward this activity or this person, or am I stepping away? I have used that one when I have gone to sex conferences, and I might go to a workshop where perhaps someone's teaching a skill that or a certain kind of play that I'm not wildly familiar with. And I notice that in the workshop, am I wanting to move closer to the presenter and whatever they're demonstrating, or am I wanting to hang back a bit more? That doesn't mean make them wrong. It just means this is or is not my turn on. And then you can kind of create gentle boundaries that go, you know what, no more of that particular activity. I don't think I want to do any more of that kind of role play. That really just didn't do it for me.
Okay.
The other thing is, this is related to boundaries. One of the reasons I wanted to write about boundaries was that I had had problems in a relationship that I'm no longer in, that I realized was coming down to just this messy boundary situation. And I went out there trying to read more about, how do you set a boundary? How do you know when it's appropriate? What if I feel guilty about setting a boundary? All those things. I wanted to read more about it, and I couldn't find it. And I finally went, well, you know the old adage, if you can't find what you want to read, then you're supposed to write it.
Exactly.
So I wrote with the intention of giving it a great deal of thought, talking to a lot of people. And then my intention is always, when I write a book, please, people, tell me more. Let's start a dialogue about this. I don't write to be right. I write to start a dialogue with bunches of cool people so that we can learn more about this situation. And indeed, the boundary chapter has been one of the most popular. I talk about the fact that often our greatest hindrance to an ecstatic relationship could be others-in-law, not just mothers and brothers and fathers-in-law, but others-in-law. Others can be other lovers. Others can be bosses. Others can be best friends from high school. If you don't get along with your friend, your lover's others-in-law, what do you do?
Mm.
So that can be a big bone of contention and a big stumbling block to ecstasy.
Yeah, people have all kinds of things around stuff like that. Even if their best friend, let's say, marries someone that they can't stand, then how are they going to keep relating to their best friend?
How do you create that boundary so that you can maintain a relationship? And one of the things I talk about that I think is really important is the premise of radical acceptance. I didn't invent this. It's a Buddhist concept. For me, radical acceptance is accepting things exactly the way they are. And here's the tough part, with absolutely no expectation that they will change.
That's like what? You can't blame an oak tree for being an oak tree.
Right. And of course, the minute you accept things exactly as they are and don't expect them to change, of course, the first thing they do is change, which is a good thing. But that I found really helpful in terms of setting boundaries. It caused me to find other solutions. It's like, okay, this is the way it is. I'm not expecting you to change it. I'm not going to argue with you about it. I'm not going to tell you it's wrong. I'm not going to try to convince you to see it this way. I'm just going to say, okay, this is the way it is. You see it this way and I see it this way. What's a creative solution that respects both our boundaries around this?
I love the idea of moving towards or moving away.
Mm.
You know, do I feel drawn towards this or do I feel to move away, so that one can start to measure? Because a lot of times people are not in touch with their own sensations.
Yes.
If the world is numb, if they're not numb already, they're numbed out on some drug they're taking.
Right.
So people don't really know what their sensations are. So moving towards or moving away is a really good way to start, and then knowing that there might be some negotiation needed to get it to a comfortable working, even when there's, it's not going to be like total alignment or seeing eye to eye with someone.
Yes. And sometimes we think, oh my God, I can't have an ecstatic experience or an ecstatic relationship with this person if we don't agree on everything. Well, after the chemicals in your brain, you know, the love chemicals in your brain wear off after you've been together a while, you're not going to see everything the same way like you did the first week you met. But that
exactly.
doesn't mean that you have to give up ecstatic moments, ecstatic relating, great sex. It's the little things in life that wear us down and wear the edges off our ecstasy. And that's what I've hoped that I've written as many ways to have ecstasy as I have ways to avoid fucking up the ecstasy you already have.
That's great. There was something else I wanted to ask you, and that is thinking off. You use a term. You have used a term in the past. You have used it recently. I know you have something great to say about that. And it has to do with ecstasy as well. I think it's a component of ecstasy. So what is thinking off?
Well, it's actually a term that I wasn't fond of, but it kind of got thrust upon me. And so now I've embraced it. In the beginning of the book, I tell this story in the prelude of Ecstasy is Necessary. I tell this story about how it was for a Discovery Channel program. Now Learning Channel, I volunteered to put myself into an fMRI machine and have a breath and energy orgasm, what the producers called thinking off, so that they could measure in my brain what was happening. Were the same areas of the brain lit up in a breath and energy orgasm as they would be in a genital orgasm? And I start the book off this way because I am hideously claustrophobic. And getting into a tiny little tube, which is an fMRI machine, was one of the scariest things I have ever done. And yet I was still able to have a breath and energy orgasm inside that tube. So I wanted to, first of all, explain to people that ecstasy may be found in ways that they might not have imagined yet. And also that even when conditions appear not to be perfect, you can create your safety, your boundaries, and with some risk-taking skills, with a plan, with knowing how to do it, you can take an erotic risk that leads to a wildly ecstatic conclusion and still stay safe and reasonably centered in the process.
I mean, that's a lot there, what you just covered. I mean, it's possible to have a breath and energy orgasm, which is, I guess, what they were challenging you to do. And not only could you do it, but you could make yourself safe, which is, that wasn't a question, but you know what? That's so important. It's so important to know that safety is within you. It doesn't have to do with the confines of an MRI machine, or it doesn't have to do with anyone out there or anything else. It's you taking yourself to have an ecstatic experience
and
wherever you're going.
Right. And the ways to keep yourself safe and knowing how to take a risk, when to stop, when to pull back, when to say, wait a minute, that's how we grow. So it's also just an incredibly fun story. And I love to start my books with fun stories.
Yeah, wonderful. Well, let me ask you, what are you up to? How can people find out about you? How can they get the book and what else? Like all the stuff that will give people a chance to find you.
Great. Ecstasy is Necessary. You can get it all good bookstores and Amazon and Barnes & Noble, but the easiest way, and then you get to read more about the book, including that fMRI story I just referred to, go to ecstasyisnecessary.com, everything you want to know about the book. To know everything I'm up to, I teach workshops, I give keynotes, I do lots of intriguing things. BarbaraCarellas.com, and that's CarrellaS. And the thing I'm most excited about right now is in the fall, October and November of 2012, the fall in the Northern Hemisphere, I will be teaching my beloved and fabulous 6-day Urban Tantra professional training program in Australia in October and in London, England in November. I've graduated people from, I think, 16 countries at this point, and it is a place where sexuality professionals can come together. We have everything from tantric massage people to clinical sexologists to sex educators to pro-doms, all in the same room. all with the intention of becoming more conscious and more healing with our work. And it is an amazing program. And if you're, even if you're not yet a professional, but you think you might want to be, the program can be for you. So again, just go to BarbaraCorellis.com, click on workshops, and you'll see it. We're still registering people for 2012, October and November.
Okay, that's great, Barbara. Well, thank you so much for being my guest today. It's always a pleasure when we get back together. And it's you're so clear. You really are. You're such a clear person. You take terms that others have used on this show, and you make them simple, you know, like just simplify it so that people really can understand what we're talking about.
Thank you. You do that too, Lori. That's why you appreciate it, because you do that too.
Thank you. Yeah, it's really important to me that people grasp it, that they understand that, you know, we don't just go galloping off on our horses and having an understanding that's spoken or unspoken, but it's really important that people who tune in, who are really interested in this subject matter, get what they came for. They get to feel like they're getting a grasp of this, and they didn't possibly even leave their home. They just downloaded it onto their iPod or whatever, and they get a sense of who they are. They get to expand, and I appreciate you for helping me do that on this show. So thank you again.
Thank you.
I'm speaking today with Bonnie Gale, who is the co-creator of Sex Butter, a wonderful new female enhancement product that can be used by females and males. So tell me a little bit about Sex Butter. How did you get the name Sex Butter?
The Sex Butter, the product itself, actually looks and feels like butter and melts into your skin just like butter does when you touch it. And it's for sexual enhancement and lubrication. So I wanted something really direct that let people know what it was about.
Well, it sounds absolutely yummy.
It is.
Does it smell yummy? Does it have a taste and a smell to it?
Yes, it smells like dark chocolate mint, which I think is pretty yummy. And the taste of it, it has a kind of like a taste like coconut oil.
Oh, but the smell sounds wonderful. Dark chocolate and mint. How wonderful is that? When people use Sex Butter, what can they expect? Like, what can the woman expect? We'll start with her.
Okay, I apply it internally onto the vaginal walls and the G-spot area, as well as the clitoral area. And it really makes internal orgasms easy and effortless. I mean, the sensation is just amazing. And there's a little surprise that comes out for those men who are not used to their women having internal orgasms that can be accomplished with Sex Butter.
I like the idea of a surprise.
So do the men.
If men use it alone, is that okay too?
Oh, yeah, they can definitely use it alone. And the really amazing thing for men, they feel sensation even after they have orgasm. So the recovery time is really shortened big time.
It sounds like everybody should try Sex Butter, don't you think?
I think everybody should try Sex Butter.
How can people get Sex Butter? How can they order it?
We have Sex Butter in 1-ounce jars. Looks like a high-end eye cream, so people don't have to be embarrassed when they order it. It doesn't look sleazy or porn-like. So have little travel packs that people can take along. They can actually, each one can be used like up to 3 times.
How can they find out about it?
www.sexbutter.net.
Sounds terrific. Thank you so much, Bonnie Gale.
Thank you.
I'm signing off now for Sex and Happiness.
Tune in next time when I'll be speaking to a woman about faking orgasms, and I'll be speaking to a man about why men resist what women say they want. Should be a really interesting show.
Thank you for joining us today for Sex and Happiness. To learn more about Lori and her work, please go to butterflyworkshops.com or follow her on Twitter or Facebook. You can send her an email at sexandhappiness@gmail.com. And if you'd like to listen to podcasts of Lori's previous show, Tantra Cafe, please go to tantracafe.com. We'll see you again right here next week for another edition of Sex and Happiness. Want you to make-